family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello?
Sorry about that. I'm involved in a flame war on Facebook with a moron from Croatia over the question of Islam. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, he says he's in Croatia. He says he's not a Christian. He's probably some laxed Catholic or something, or pro-Mohammedist or something. But anyway, Jacob Ford, if you're listening, because I know I got a lot of Facebook listeners, what I need you to do is I need you to go to your grandpa's closet, because I know you don't own a gun because you're a wussy. Go get your grandpa's double-barrel shotgun, go out to the wood pile, and end it all for us just in a flash of fury. Just take yourself out of the game. You're of no use to anybody.
Yes.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to type that. Hi, I'm Dutch Jones, and I hate to start it out with such a hate and discontent message, but that's what I do all day, answer emails and fight the good fight, stand in the gap, and just deal with people who need to get their butts kicked once in a while. I'm Dutch Jones. We come to you live Monday through Friday, as I open my Bible here, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on UBroadcast and several other outlets. Across the nation, across the globe. And we're coming to you from Cahuilla, California. A wee little commonwealth stuck in the middle, the belly button of the beast here. California, the people's, I don't even want to call it the people's republic. I love the name republic, but it's a communist republic. It's a socialist republic. And I've been reading newspaper articles all day about our local, when I say local, I mean state level, just menagerie of stupidity that's going on in the election. And it's just a wonderful day to be alive and see all this going on, right? Let's accelerate us closer to the path, the day that we restore some kind of sanity to this system, even if it's a chopped up small corner of the world of it. What we do is we bring you the Christian worldview into everything we do, and that includes militancy. So all you people out there sending me emails that have been... It's funny, we've increased in listening audience, but we're getting a lot of wussies. And I'm trying to find a good word. Wimpy, milquetoast Christians. It's not even the atheists. They want their ears tickled and they want to drink all the milk they can swallow until they get a big fat belly and need to have it rubbed. They don't want the meat. And I'm giving you meat. I'll give you some milk too now and again for those people that haven't been saved. I have no problem with that. But like I always say, our worst enemies are those people that sit in the pews of the 501c3 churches who think they know what's going on. They never even read their Bible. They just believe what that guy up there tells them. The guy that's more concerned with how good his tie looks and how much hairspray he has on than sharing the proper message. And it's going to be that way. It's been that way since the antebellum South post-Reconstruction when they destroyed America after the War of Federal Aggression. They destroyed our churches, so that's where it's going. But that's the kind of show this is. We preach the gospel into everything we do. I don't care if I'm talking about your backpack full of beef jerky. Everything we do is holy. Everything we do is in service of the Lord. You may not know it. You may not even want to admit it, and you may reject it. But everything we do, it has several aspects to it. Everything we do is spiritual. Everything we do is political. Everything we do is intersocial. You can't help it. It's the way God created our society. And even if you go live up on a hill somewhere in a cave and never interact, the fact that you're pulling out of society has an effect on society, has a spiritual effect on the spiritual warfare that is being waged because you're not taking part in it. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, therefore you have an effect. And that's what we try to preach here from this microphone. And I'm not a preacher, I shouldn't have said that. That's what we try to share. I am not a preacher. I don't have the theological background. I take chunks of information. I read the Bible. I may read the same thing three or four times. I've been through the Bible four or five times in my life and just go, huh? What's that mean? And then one night at Bible study, somebody says something. I go, oh, you know, that makes sense. I got to go back and reread that. There's just so much in the Bible. I mean, you could go to train for war, to train for love, to train your kids, farming. Everything's in the Bible. And don't come to me with your email saying, well, it's just a really good story. It's been translated. No, I use the King James Bible. It's the only Bible for me, but I study other Bibles. We've got the Geneva Bible. I'm looking at a whole rack of just about every Bible. I think we've got every Bible written except for that new faggot Bible that came out, the End Bible. We don't have that, and we never will. I may go read it online somewhere just so I can tell you guys about how blasphemous it is in mockery. But, yeah, we've got all kinds of Bibles up here, and I like to read them. But I use the King James, and that's what I go out of. And I want to share a verse with you. And we used to do this a lot more, and I got reminded by two people today. My new friend, Navy Davey, called me on the phone, and then an old friend, Minuteman, was it today or yesterday, talking about, you know, doing more gospel stuff in an email and things like that. So two of you are telling me that must mean 20 of you are thinking about it. And I haven't started out the show with a Bible verse in probably 3 or 4 months, although I've delved into different ones, but I'm going to start this show out today, of course, with good old Psalm 144. It's a Psalm of David. I'm going to let you guys get there if you've got your Bible, Psalm 144. Now, if you're using the End Bible, it probably says something completely different. If you're using some Catholic Bible, it probably says something about perverse, you know, handling of children. But I'm using the King James Bible. Psalm 144, starting with verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou taketh knowledge of him? And the son of man that thou maketh account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. And I could keep going on here, but in fact, because I'm going to hit the top part of it. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. But what I want to talk about is the you know, David, the psalmist, is writing here. And the first thing in this psalm here, because all day I've been hearing people, the Bible is about just loving your enemy and going to him and telling him how great it is. And even if they stab you in the face, you give him your child's face to stab. And if they rape your daughter, you hand over your other daughter. I'm really getting garbage like that from these people. And I'm just right here. Boom. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. They want to cut these kind of things out of the Bible, these modern milquetoast Christians. Now, also, you know, and I have to be, intellectually honest. I don't cut out the stuff that says, you know, love your enemy. I study it. Love thy enemy. What does that mean? I can love my enemy. I love my son, so therefore I love my son more than my enemy, so I kill my enemy to protect my son. But if my enemy approaches me in a nonviolent manner and I can share the gospel with him and maybe have him, you know, convert, fine. But if not, he dies for the cause. But they don't want to hear this stuff. They have a truncated gospel, and they don't want to hear it. And I pray to the Lord every day that people who listen to the show realize this isn't about me, Dutch Jones. I'm not doing this to look macho and cool. I'm walking around with a cane today because my sciatica and my hip are acted up. I am not a warrior. I'm not the man I want to be. But like the rest of you, I want you guys to be the warrior you should be and that you're called to be and do the best that we can. So stand up, ignore these idiots, and find the meat in here. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Now David, the king, as a leader, is saying this. He realizes that his power doesn't come from him, from his great deeds, 10,000 falling at his right hand. The people are subdued because the Lord God chose him to be king over Saul's son. Was it Jonathan? I always forget the name of Saul's son. It's just so much in the Psalms. I think you should read a psalm every day. A psalm, a proverb, and then, you know, start from the beginning of the Bible and read what you can every day for about an hour. And if you do that every day, you're going to find contentment, you're going to find guidance, you're also going to find challenge. And I'm telling you, when Dutch Jones gets challenged, It's when he reads something that says, you know, like, oh, you have to forgive somebody 7 times 70. And I'm like, that's in matters of daily life and stuff. Not when somebody rapes your child. Right? People take this stuff so out of context and so far away. When it says, you know, the Roman soldier asks you to carry his pack for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. That's not if he comes up to you and he says, you know, I'm going to cut your head off unless you do this. That's if you just get encountered, you're in an occupied territory, it's wise to do that. Because what's going to happen in that 2 miles that you're carrying your enemy's gear? You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. You're going to find things out. People just want to put this whole thing into their own context. They think God's an idiot. They think God is just some big, fat, jolly Santa guy, because that's what America's turned him into. And there's nothing he's going to do to fight you. He's just going to let you do whatever you want to him. Yeah, our God's a coward. Our God's the little nerd that likes to get beat up and get wedgies. Yeah. So that's the context and the mindset that I want you guys to be in. Thank you, Minuteman. I'm in pale comparison. I'm not worthy of that compliment. Thank you. But that's where we're going with this show. In the next minute, in the next year, if we're allowed to keep going, in the next decade, if we're still here. That's why I do the show. To show you the places in the Bible where the Lord teaches you loudly, ferociously in your face, that you have a right to liberty that's given by God. You have a right to self-defense that's given by God. You have a right to arm yourself. You have a right to prepare your mind. And you have a right to hate enemies with a righteous burning hate. You can love them and hate them at the same time in battle. Does that sound complicated? Well, hopefully not, because you should be sophisticated enough. If you've gotten out of the third grade in reading and writing, you should be able to understand that life isn't simple. It's complex. And limiting yourself with just the milk and the buffet, happy, friendly, touchy-feely stuff of Christianity is going to get you and the rest of us hurt. Probably get you killed and hurt the cause for liberty. So if you're listening to this, and if you're one of them idiots out there that just want to argue with me, seriously, just go take yourself off into a field, get it over with. Because you're a burden to everybody else. I've shared the gospel enough. If you've been around me for more than a week, you've heard the gospel. I don't care who you are. If I go to a grocery store, I share. You know, once I engage somebody in conversation other than just your usual, you know, service-oriented chit-chat, you're going to know I'm a Christian and you're going to know what it's all about. And I'm going to ask you, what's your faith? Remember when we did that when we bought the soundboard? Really, you know, what church do you go to? What do you do? What do you guys think? Yeah. You know, I don't hit them in the head with a sledgehammer right away. But if you hang out with me for more than a week or two, you listen to the show more than 3 shows in a row, and it's not for you, don't think you're going to come on here and change what's been going on since the beginning. Don't think you're going to change history. Don't think you're going to make me one of the sheep. I love it. I love it. I just had good arguments today. A little bit that I wasn't napping. But just be ferocious. Stand in the gap. I got good people that want to stand in the gap wherever they are. You know, be logical and strategic and tactical about it. But it's good. Know these verses in the Bible. You've got to know the verses in the Bible. You know, Luke 22:36 is a good starter. You know, and just be ready to go. And be ready to expound upon the Word when it's worth it. When it's worth it. I mean, especially if it's someone you love or someone in your family or, you know, it's your sister's boyfriend and you know he's going to end up being married to your sister, you might as well try. But the rest of these people, just shove them out of the way after 2 or 3 tries. The Bible says it, and I said it a lot yesterday, just dust the stupidity off your shoes and keep walking. Hopefully none of it will stick to you. But that's the point of this show. Welcome, Scotty. I didn't know if that was that. Scotty's in there. Olima, Minuteman, Navy Davy. We got a couple guests, and you're all welcome to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're glad you made it in. But that was Psalm 144. Psalm 144 for a starter. And I encourage you to start with Psalms. If you haven't been reading the Bible regularly, start with Psalms. Start with Proverbs. Start in the old. Read as much as you can of start in Genesis. Start in Matthew, and try and do that in an hour every day. If you got to break it up, but it's better if you could do like a whole hour. Give your Lord the first hour of the day and the last hour of the day if you can. It's tough. I know it's tough. I'm not telling you that I've been doing this perfectly, but I try to do it. I'm fortunate because I live in a church environment. And, you know, I just spent 30 minutes with the pastor talking about things that are important, ideals, ideas. You know, most guys get together, they talk about the latest carburetor tweak, the, you know, even politics, football. When men get together up here, we talk a little bit about that stuff, but usually it turns to ideas and beliefs and the cause. And what are we going to do with our resources? That's been the latest thing. Navy Davies in the front seat of his truck, probably getting it on some kind of wireless. But welcome. So, folks, people are asking me. Yesterday scared a lot of people, the show yesterday, because, and I tell you again, and I hope you guys get this, I'm not saying that World War III is going to start November 2nd. I'm not saying that. Everybody else is saying that. And me not wanting to be a filter or censor you, I shared it. I passed it on with you that there may be ugly things happening, and I used it, quite honestly, hopefully to scare a couple of you, and it did, judging by the emails. I got 200 emails today. That's more than I've gotten in a long time. Usually between 80 and 100. Yeah, but yours is all about, you know, nail polish and junk and, you know, new paper products. And, you know, mine so far hasn't been spammed. The Dutch Jones Show at Yahoo.com. But people are like, do you really think there's going to be something? I go, no, absolutely not. I don't think anything's going to happen. But if November 4th rolls around and World War III is going on and I didn't warn you, I'd feel like garbage. It's the inverse of what I said yesterday. Would you rather prepare and be let down or not prepare and be dead? Or even worse, there are far more worse things than dead. You know, so. Yeah, Minuteman's saying the point is don't put off preparing and training. You got to do as much training as you can. If you haven't had a professional pistol class or a professional rifle class and you've got the resources to do it now before time runs out. Even if you've had one of my lovely little orientations and classes, if you're in the West Coast, I don't know anything on the East Coast. You guys will have to help each other out in the forum. But Front Sight, a four-day at Front Sight, you find one of those coupons where you can do it for $150. You know, you got to get a hotel room and some beans and weenies and stuff. You don't have to pay the $2,000 fee. Just find a coupon. Go on eBay and type in Front Sight coupons or Front Sight certificates. Front Sight, if you haven't heard about it, Google it. Lou, are you having problems over there? No. Okay, Lou's taking care of something else with the radio station. Or if you're here in California, there's lots of places. And I can tell you, if you're in the Central Valley area, DFT, Defensive Firearms Training, is it, or Tactics? Lou's been there. Defensive Firearm Training with Rudy Waldinger. And, Lou's getting some of the stuff up there. Frontsight.com. Yeah, FrontSight.com. FrontSight.com. It's in Pahrump. But let me tell you something. I had already had a bunch of training before I went to this place 4 years ago. I learned stuff. What's with the car? I hear a car coming through. We got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deer sitting out front, and then a car just pulled through. Got to watch for poachers. What is it? It's down on the road? Oh, wow, it sounds like it's right here. So it's like 100 meters away, and it sounds like it's right in front of the house. My hearing either got better or weirder. And then DFT training is, the website is, of course, the usual www stuff. DFTRAINING. What's it doing? Okay, sounds like something with little lowrider Cholomo vehicles. Okay, who knows, they're probably up checking their crop. I can see them now. I saw where they went down the road, so we're good there. So, get that training, DFT. You know, I can show you everything in the world, and you can have, but you need the advanced training if you're going to work along militias. Most militias today that are worth their weight have received professional training. Huh? Oh, it sounds like somebody's sick. So, if you want to integrate now, especially those of you that are coming late to the dance, I advise that you get some kind of training. That, you know, I got a lot of emails that say, well, where can I get training? If you're in my area, I can give you some training, but I still highly recommend you go to professionals. I'm not a professional. I'm a beans and potatoes kind of guy. I like that, beans and potatoes. What were some of the sayings? Are you receiving what I'm transmitting? What were the other ones, Lou? You looked some up for me, and I said remember them. What were they? You don't remember them now?
Are Are you catching what I'm throwing?
Are you catching what I'm throwing, people? That's a good one there, Lee. Look up some more.
I tried it. I couldn't. That's the only one.
So we've really, really got to focus on this tactical level right now. Strategic, that can come later. But let's work on tactical together. Let's work on integrating with one another and integrating with these Oath Keepers that are going to be out there. I think Minuteman's saying some units still don't know how to use a map and a compass. Yeah, we're running into that all over the place. Let's see here. Olima's saying something here. Let me tell you what Olima's saying. She's usually got stuff good. There are verses that say we all need to put railings on our roofs so we won't be blamed if someone falls off. We have to read everything, understand context. Some things are important, and God gave us wisdom and sound mind for judgment in our lives and in the greatest cause of liberty. Even if people aren't on our roofs to fall off, a lesson even from something that doesn't look like it applies is to prepare for every eventuality. Very good, Olima. And right now there are people on the roof of the church putting a new roof on, so we should have them. One of the reasons I said to put railings on the roofs, and I like that one because that's a great workable verse there, and what that was Deuteronomy 22:8 that instruct us. Because they didn't have air conditioning back then. In the hot days of summer, people would sleep on their roofs and live on their roofs in the evenings. You know, that was the culture of the day. Culture changes. The rules and advice still apply. Now, someone might say, put railings on your roof. Well, I could apply that today to saying, make sure you lock your swimming pool up so some little kid next door doesn't wander into it and drown. You know, that kind of logic applies. It does apply. So thank you, Olima. That makes sense. That makes sense. Minuteman's comment, but some units still don't know how to use a map and a compass. The core stuff is still there and needs to be taught. Those of you that weren't raised as Boy Scouts or poachers, they seem to be the two kind of people I'm running into right now. You get your Boy Scouts who learned all this stuff a righteous and wholesome way with their dads out in the woods back when they let the Boy Scouts do their thing before the anti-sodomite attacks came in, you know. And then you had your poachers, and that's the category I'm in. Whether you're a poacher, small petty thief, you know, scavenger, whatever, it all falls into that. Poachers and Boy Scouts. We learn the basic stuff through necessity, through example, through just basic survival. You know, kids, especially kids, learn through example. And like today, I was watching Lou edit, and he's doing all this really cool stuff in the editing. I mean, he knew how to do it technically, but until he saw me editing the last thing we edited, he never thought to do these really cool things with it, you know, technical things. I won't bore you with what it is, but he's editing the conferences. And it made it much easier to view. It had a better flow. And I'm like, you actually paid attention. And he's like, yeah. So kids will learn through example. But sometimes you have to take the next step and sit them down and say, this is how a compass works. This is how a map works. Do you see why I'm doing this? Do you see why you need this? And make it real for them. Make it realistic, not just for your kids, but if you got people in your militia and they're just not getting it. Something as simple as how to start a fire. Most people are like, huh? I guarantee you 90% of city folk, even if they have a fireplace, and I'll tell you why in a minute because of modern technology, have no idea how to make a survival fire. No idea. Because they go out and they buy all these fire starter logs that you light the paper on one end and you walk away. You can get even little tiny baby logs that'll do the same thing. You can put your regular debris pile on top of it and it'll still burn. Half city folks I know go, well, I just use a road flare and a gallon of gas. Well, okay, fine, you know, charo, because, you know, you're going to get toasted doing that. But just basic skills, start there. If you can't start anywhere else, start with the basic skills. Remain coram Deo in the face of God in everything you do. Especially if you're going to be designated as the teacher. One of the hardest things for me not to do is slap people. I'm just slap happy. When somebody says something stupid, I just want to walk over to them and slap them. And I admit that. But when I'm okay, Debbie, here, come on, I'm coming over. Debbie just said something stupid in the background. But in all honesty, when I'm teaching, because of what I'm doing for the Lord, I'm able to control myself with His help, not my help. So when somebody, and I just go through a whole skill set, levels 1, 2, and 3, explain it, and then somebody goes, yeah, but how do you start a fire? I just want to reach across the table. There's that split second, and I go, okay. What part didn't you understand? You know, okay. We need to start fires without fires and matches sometimes. How many people know how to do that? I mean, the best planning in the world is have a lighter and matches and kindling and all that ready to go. But let's say you're buck naked, just you and your camouflage underwear, and you had to run out and you're going to freeze to death, you know, in the night because you didn't prepare properly, you know, what can you do to make a fire? You know, so study those ways. Start with the basics. You still got to learn how to use a firearm safely and all that kind of stuff, but you'll be no use to anybody if you can't feed yourself, clothe yourself, protect yourself, and keep your gear in order. You'll be of no use to any militia. And I guarantee you, you come up here like that, we're going to stick you in the rear with the gear, if we let you in at all. I'm going to be really harsh and really honest. You know, the virgins in the oil scenario is being applied here on our property, very realistic now. If you don't look like you have your stuff together, we'll be real humble. We won't even let you know what we know. That's just good op security, you know. And people come in, they get really excited, that's great. We just want to see what they can do. You know, and we do the best we can with what we have. And but there's no real way of doing it without my Winnebago test or, you know, a couple things like that. And what we do, like, we're not sure if we're going to do this third weekend in November. We're thinking about having a camp over. I know that there's some other training we're going to be doing that's in-house only, by invitation only, but I'm going to continue my open training for you guys. And people have come from all over the place for this training, and I really appreciate that. San Luis Obispo, Oakland. The farthest way was probably Palm Springs, which is like about a six-hour drive. A whole family came up for some trauma training I was giving. What's funny is that the lady who came was a trauma nurse, and she gave me a thumbs up for the class, and I'm not a trauma nurse. I'm an EMT-1 battlefield trained. Yeah, it would look funny in the nurse outfit, wouldn't I, Stace? So we're going to have a camp out up here either in November or December, because I want to get... Everybody was happy to camp out when it was 80 degrees at night, huh? You know, and we threw down a blanket and laid on the ground. You know, except some people did bring everything but the kitchen sink. But me and mine, we just threw it on the ground and slept on the ground, huh?
Yeah,
why
are you looking at?
No, not you. I was just remembering some of the people that aren't with us anymore that had to have, I mean, bring literally a truckload of supplies. And I'm like, you're going to haul that up the mountain?
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually the guys that want to do the most work that have the most gear. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, you're not getting it. Daniel Boone. Think Davy. Wow, already. Think Davy Crockett, think Daniel Boone. That's how we're going to fight up here. Wow, that went fast. Hopefully the Spirit of the Lord reached out through the Bible verse, and you get that through the show. We'll be back for the next half hour, and we'll be talking more militia integration, survival, and what you need to be doing in these next coming weeks if something's going to happen. I'm Dutch Jones. Check out DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We'll be right back after this brief commercial break about Stacy's little store online that she tries to sell stuff with. Thanks.
Them rebels down. Well, the king was talking about the men like Paul Revere and the Minutemen who held their dream of independence dear. They kept their eyes on the British. They watched them day and night. They knew very soon they'd get their chance to stand and fight. Yes, they knew that the British would be moving any hour, so they arranged a signal in the North End Church Tower. Paul was watching when the tower showed a light, and he started on his midnight ride. He jumped on his horse, hooves started humming. He screamed out his warning, "Redcoats are coming. Better get your guns and your fighting breeches on. They're coming and they're 800 strong." Next morning at Concord and Lexington town, the spirit of freedom turned the redcoats around. When we praise the men who made this mighty nation we have here, then let's remember Paul Revere. Yes, let's remember Paul Revere. I guarantee you something, and I want to tell you all, that we never would have been here if it hadn't have been for Paul. Yes, sir, I surely doubt us ever being here if it hadn't have been for that man on that horse named Mr. Revere.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry Surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention.
World order, a new world order.
Attention! This is an emergency! Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Tell it like it is.
I always tell it like it is. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back. I don't know where we are here. Where's my headphone? Turn that up. Yeah, that makes me feel better when I can hear myself. And we come to you live Monday through Friday from 5 to... What was that? 7 p.m.? And we are currently in our second half hour. We're just discussing pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ in everything we do, and that includes resistance to tyranny. I'm just while I'm talking to you, I have ongoing battles going on with messages. Somebody just quoted Mahatma Gandhi, "God has no religion," and then somebody answered them, "You quote an old retarded dothead," like that. I like Gandhi also has a quote that they don't like to share. Gandhi once said in a London Times interview, "If we had had guns, I would have gone that way, but we were unarmed, so we had to use passive resistance. To embarrass England in the eyes of the world because they were slaughtering our people was our only way out. So if they had had guns, they would have fought." Gandhi said that, but they don't like to I'm going to have to find that and make a t-shirt. "But if I had guns, we would have fought that way. Gandhi," you know, so... But, yeah, and then somebody else said, you Christians are so unlike your Christ, evolve. I love how he used the word evolve, and he claims to be a Christian, whoever this guy is.
He's not.
Yeah, he's a Catholic, you know, enough said. And for my Catholic listening audience, I know that there are brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church that are saved, but overall I have a huge problem with a lot of Catholics. This guy's in Croatia, anyway, who I'm arguing with, so enough said. Let's get back to it here.
Read the user-friendly Bible.
Yeah, Stacy says, well, you're using a user-friendly Bible. What do you want? Okay, Minuteman. Yeah, maybe we could do that on Sunday. We'll have some kind of training on Sunday, counter the tactical training on Saturday, Minuteman. That will work out well. So, folks, another thing I want to make sure, if you weren't here yesterday, go to ammosurplus.com. Ammosurplus.com. Especially if you're here in California. That whole controversy about the ammo law is just heating up. We got more info today. Now we've got people telling us, oh yeah, well that didn't pass, but another one passed where you still have to give a thumbprint. We heard somebody told me today, oh, it passed and it's going to be January 1st. The misinformation is flying. So I think the wise thing to do is operate on the belief that something is going to happen February 1st, 2011. Just to be wise, get your ammo if you can. Allocate your resources, get your ammo. Get your ammo. Get your ammo. Did I mention get your ammo? And I'm sorry to sound redundant. I had somebody today tell me that I talk about the same stuff every day on the show, and I said, well, that's the theme. Survival. And she told me, you talk way too much about Obama. And I'm like, actually, I don't talk about him probably enough because, I'm getting a lot of feedback on the show, which is good. At first, I was kind of like, wow. But it's because people are listening, and I guess that's the price. Who was that?
You can.
I told... No, Lou.
I'm Barack Obama.
No. Lou, no.
Wild-eyed socialist.
No. No.
Yes.
No. Absolutely not. We don't want you in the show. Okay.
Okay.
What does Obama think about my radio show?
Later.
Later? What does Obama...
Bye.
No. Hey, Obongo, what do you think about my radio show? Do you have a comment?
Okay.
It's okay. Just okay. That was unrehearsed. Usually Lou has some, you know, he's quicker on the trigger on those, and he has some good ones. Where was it you were born, sir? Again, I know that's always...
At a local Waikiki bar.
You were born in a bar?
Yes.
Oh, good. Are you an American citizen or are you Kenyan?
Indeed.
You're claiming to be an American citizen?
Yes.
But isn't it true that your mother was underage and your father was a Kenyan and you were living outside the U.S. when you were born? Or your mother was living outside the U.S. and you were actually born overseas?
Bye.
You don't want to answer those kind of questions. Wouldn't it have been nice if on the Daily Show, if what's his name? John, what's that guy's name? John who?
Stewart
had asked him that question, but instead got on him about not doing more for socialism. See there, I talked about Obongo a little bit more. There we go. It's just the media is just a menagerie right now of just disinformation out there, both locally and nationally. Look at the distractions they're throwing up in the news right now. Look at the kind of stuff that's happening. And then remember what Lindsay Williams was telling us. Those of you that don't know Lindsay Williams, you've got to Google him. Lindsay Williams, and also, you know, put in Alex Jones. That's been his latest report. I'd love to get him on here, but he doesn't reply to my emails. I'm probably not important enough yet, or ever will be. The predictions are out there. The economy's doing what all the and I'm not going to say chicken littles. Reasonable people have called this, and things are getting a little scarier. So let's just use it to maybe motivate us. Let it be the whip or the stick and carrot. You know, whatever you want to call it, whether you need it to come from comfort or you need it to come from fear, use it to get out there and do your stuff. Use it to get out there and make sure you're preparing. Now, there was something I was going to... Somebody asked me specifically to talk about. Oh, a lot of people wanted me to talk about building a fire. I'm not going to do that. That's going to... You want to learn how to build a fire, you come up here and I'll show you.
Or go to YouTube.
Because it's basic, and I'm going to teach you nothing different than what Minuteman would teach you or anybody. I mean, it may be a little more entertaining on the radio, but it's not going to... You need to get dirty. You need your hand. You need to get burned a little bit, you know. You need to lose some hair. I've got a funny stand-up comedy routine on how to start a fire, but it's not, you know... Sure, you'll chuckle, but it's not going to edumacate you any. The other thing that I was hearing in the emails people asking for was field cooking. You know, what kind of food to take into the field, what to put in your pack for food-wise. Well, first of all, that's a good question, and I got four or five questions on that because I guess I mentioned it a little bit yesterday. Get stuff you're going to eat. Don't go buy a bunch of freeze-dried food and never taste it. Buy a little bit, taste what you like, and buy lots of what you like. Don't convince yourself that, hey, I'm going to eat broccoli and cheese soup because, you know, I'll have to eat it. Or the kids will have to eat it or they'll starve. Why do that? Why be that cruel? If I know Lewis is just going to want spaghetti, beef stew, what else do you like? Spam?
Not really.
Not really. See, why should I pack his pack full of all that? And just, you know, make him miserable. Life's going to be hard already. If you can live on beef jerky and oatmeal, you know, for an extended period of time, I don't recommend it. Go for it. Put that in your pack. It's lightweight, easy, you know, and you can eat the jerky on the run. And if you get time to sit and make oatmeal, don't eat the oatmeal raw. Trust me, I've done that a couple times, and it swells in your stomach, and it's just terrible.
At
least I'd be full. Yeah, eat like four packets of oatmeal. But when you're picking the food, put some stuff in there that your kids are gonna like. Pack some Oreos in a Ziploc. So those little cheese and cracker things. Don't get the ones at the dollar store because they're not real cheese, nor are they real crackers. And they taste terrible. Yeah, they don't last very long. Yeah, the cheese, I think, is some kind of lubricant they use on Russian tanks. And, you know, because of the fall, they've, you know, there's been a lot of it circulating. And they just added some yellow coloring to it, which who knows what that is. But put things in your pack or in your 55-gallon drum in your basement that you know you're going to eat. And look at it logically. Don't just because beans are on sale buy four cases of beans and say we're ready to go. Do you really want to be in a survival situation with nothing but beans? You know, there's a humor capacity to it, yes, but there's a nutrition capacity that needs to be answered. I'm not an expert on nutrition. If you saw me on the cameras, you know why. Find somebody who does know and ask them, you know, here's my normal diet. What can I do? And just about everything that you eat every day can come in freeze-dried or long storage form. And put those in your packs. Now, cooking is a whole other thing. Now, people get mad at me because I poo-poo the aluminum thing. Whatever pot you have, use. Put something in there lightweight that you can use to cook in. If everybody has a canteen cup, that might be enough. If you got a metal canteen cup, that's all I ever used. I cooked everything I needed, from powdered eggs to everything in an MRE I could cook in my canteen cup. And then later on, they came out with the chemical heaters. Also, Minuteman makes a good point in the chat room. Put all kinds of seasoning. Buy your seasoning, don't open it, and throw seasoning in there. I'm telling you, just standard black pepper will take the most boring vegetable beef stew and make it palatable. Chicken broth, you got nothing but chicken broth, throw some spices in it, find some, and I'm going to get into this next, some gathered food and throw it in there. Seasonings are big. We buy seasonings every time we go to the grocery store. And we just found the new grocery store that has seasonings by the pound. And yeah, Winco, and we had never been there. Chocolate covered pretzels by the pound. That's not where I was going, Stacy, but okay. I'm not going to mock you on that one very much. What?
Gummy bears by the pound.
Gummy bears by the pound. Yeah, Lou wants, if you want to put gummy bears all in there, that's fine. Navy Davy says living off cans of beans can give away your position to the enemy. That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, let me turn that down a little bit. I was messing with the gain, trying to make it sound better without the hum in the background. Nobody's mentioned the hum. I turned the gains way down and tried to equalize out the hum. Hopefully that's helping. What? Lou's humming in the microphone. That was you that whole time? Can you hear it out there? I don't know if it's going out, Lou. Yeah, stop it, Lou. Yeah, it does tickle my ears in the headphones when he hums in the microphone. Can you hum a few bars of Glory, Glory? No, don't do that. Anyway, so the food, spices, people say, well, I need long storage food the last 7 years. If you can't find it right now, if you can't afford it, get stuff that's, going to last a year. Look at the dates on the food you buy. The problem, and I'm a big advocate of the 99-cent type stores, the dollar stores, whatever you want to call them, Uncle McGee's, House of Cheap Food, whatever you go to. Look at the dates first. I've been nailed a few times. I come home, Stacy, look what I found. Look at these potatoes au gratin in pouches. They'll fit in our packs. First thing she does is she grabs it and goes, yeah, but these expired last week. That's why they're at the dollar store. So that's the way it goes. Rocky Hill Ranger says, or make your foxhole buddy hate you for life. Oh, that's if you live off beans. I can tell you that in the Army, it didn't matter if we ate beans or not. Your foxhole buddy's still going to hate you for life. Because the MREs and stuff we ate, they still were not conducive to good digestion. At least the ones I had in the late 80s, early 90s. So spices, be aware of the dates on the foods. Look for things like, see how, experiment a little bit. See how long those little cups of pudding last. And let me tell you something, waste nothing. You get a little plastic cup of pudding, save the cup for something else. You can use it to mix things in. And you've got to get real, one of these days, and I know they're out there, but I'd like to come up with a survival cookbook that a bachelor would be proud of. Like, what do you do with that macaroni and cheese? I got macaroni and cheese, I got this, I got that. Because we got real creative with our MRI. When I was in, we still had C rations. 1983, when I joined the Army, I went in 83, June of 83, they were giving us C rations. And we were learning how to cook stuff with those, because they were everything, I don't care what it was, chipped beef or ham and eggs, it all tasted what dog food did smell like. Because I'd never eaten dog food, but now I think I have, because it was terrible. So we got real creative. And the first thing that everybody had, the one required item for those of you that are manly eaters, was Tabasco sauce. Have some type of tangy sauce to get rid of whatever the survival food tastes like, or your can of tuna, if that's all you have. What we do, and when we go to fast food places, I always wear BDUs. I mean, today I'm wearing black jeans. It's like rare that I'm not wearing BDUs or pockets, pants, shorts with pockets. I grab a fistful and throw it in there, and then we throw it in. And I've never had one of those go bad, brother, sisters. I'm here to tell you. Those little packets, if you keep them in a cool, dry place, I've had them last 5-6 years. Open them up, squirt them on a banana, eat it, and you're fine. keep the hot sauce. Now, the mayonnaise is another issue. And I have a friend, he does the same thing with mustard, my friend Barry, who was in the first militias I was in California. Mustard and everything. He gets those little pouches of tuna, he squirts mustard in them, he throws in a thing of relish if he's got it, and he just chows the thing while we were marching. All the little condiments that will make your life so much more pleasurable will quadruple in value. Don't talk to me about gold and silver going through the roof. I'm talking about cinnamon, sugar, little coffee creamer packets, coffee itself, if you can, you know, you come up with those things. Expiration dates are really just suggestions. Yeah, it does matter on the product. I've had stuff. Yeah, milk products. Yeah, but I'm not going to have milk in my cereal. I have powdered milk. We got lots of powdered milk. We have evaporated milk. There are things that you have to put in categories. Necessity, luxury. Like for instance, electricity is a luxury. It's not a necessity. If you put up the 6,000 years that man's been on the earth, we've only had electricity for the last maybe 120 years. And all the time pretend that we didn't have electricity. Electricity is a luxury. Okay? Necessity is proteins, grains, you know, things that you need to eat, sugar, you know, stuff like that if you're diabetic, whatever. And then look at it that way. Go with the necessities first, then worry about the luxuries. But the little tiny luxuries, like the Tabasco sauces, what else? What would be a luxury for you, Lou? What's a luxury of a snack? Your pudding? Gummy bears would be, because he sprinkles gummy bears on everything. He's got spaghetti, he throws gummy bears on it.
I haven't had gummy bears in a long time.
You haven't sprinkled gummy bears on your spaghetti in a long time?
No.
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 No. Okay, I guess you haven't. But look at it that way and start from that footing. We've got these packets of spaghetti that we found. They weren't even a camping food. They were just on a wall in a grocery store, and they had a two-year expiration date. They were spaghetti... Were they all spaghetti? Remember those ones that are in the bottom of the gray container?
And pasta.
And pasta. Well, yeah, penny pasta. And sauce. And what's weird is usually when it comes in a sauce, it's acidic and they don't last very long. But every once in a while, I'd tie Lou to a chair and feed him one of them, make sure they're still doing good. Because we bought, I think they were 3 for $1 when they went on sale.
And they taste better than the can.
They do taste better than the can. I don't know if they can hear you. Can you guys hear Lou? I'm going to have to turn his amp up a little bit here. But yeah, I mean, it's really good. Now, Navy Davy, and this is the point I was getting to. Thanks for bringing me back on track, Navy Davy. Coffee is a necessity, not to me, but I guarantee you, where is she? She's walking the dog. If Stacy doesn't have coffee, it doesn't matter what the enemy's going to do. I'm going to be in trouble. She stepped out to walk the dog, so she won't hear this until the replay tomorrow when she listens to it. But coffee is a necessity for some people. And there's nothing, I'm not going to go in and like, oh, quit your smoking, quit your coffee. There's not enough time for that right now. You'll be forced to quit it later. But if you can freeze coffee, wrap it in Mylar and foil, get those. I ran across a bunch of those coffee bags. They're like tea bags, but coffee. Stacy frowned at it, but I said, hey, when you're jonesing for coffee, would you rather have this or nothing? She's like, okay. And they're like 50 cents a bag or something, so we bought them. And coffee will be a currency. It always has been. Spice is a currency. Chocolate currency. Think back, even just as recently as World War II, what did the GIs in Europe trade the Hoochie Mamas for a little Coochie Coo? Seriously, I'm making a joke about it because I'm trying to be lighthearted about it, but what did the GIs trade to the French Hoochie Mamas and Germans later after the occupation for a little Hoochie Coo? Chocolates. I'm not talking about like the nylons and stuff like that, but what commodities did the U.S. soldiers have that... they could trade chocolates, spices, sugar, candies. If you've got everything else in order, you go to that luxury pile and you start saying, okay, it's not a necessity, but I've already taken care of the necessity. We have enough food for 6 months. We have enough food for 2 weeks if we go on the move. Okay, everything's good. Let's look at this. What can we have? Vitamins, let's get into next. Vitamins, you want to have vitamins to supplement. One of the earlier things that I studied, we have some really old survival books written in the 1800s. Like if you're a mountain man and your horse dies, you get snowed in, how to survive. I love them. They're reprints, of course. But what do they eat? They ate rabbits, and that was it. And they would get a rabbit kind of fever because they're not getting enough fat. So find ways to augment your diet. If that means if you're living in a cold climate and you can have, just buckets of lard everywhere, You know, everybody now, fat's evil and bad. You need fat to live. It's like with anything else. In excess, you know, it kills you too. Your arteries clog. But don't overlook those kind of things. Navy Davies just put salt in there. Salt can be used for not just flavoring, folks. So when you're buying salt, we've got a kosher sea salt. It's used as a preservative. It's even used, I found out recently, we were looking at some stuff, you know, we're looking at aging beef and storing beef like in a locker. They brick the walls with salt blocks from the Dead Sea or wherever, and it kills bacteria. Actually, just salt bricks in the air will work to help kill bacteria. They do it when you get one of these really expensive steaks at like Ruth's Chris or something. They age them in these cooler climates, so basically the meat's rotting at a controlled rate. They use salt for that. Pork, salted pork on the ships in the old days. We can learn a lot from these old books. But if you're one of these guys who goes, well, I got my snare, I got my 22 and 50,000 rounds of ammo, you know, you're on the right track, but you're not going to live just on rabbits and squirrels. There's not enough fat content. Unless you have access to fatty fish or some other kind of fat, you're going to die. You literally, is it rickets? I can't remember if it's rick. I think it's rickets is the technical disease. You guys help me out, better educated than me. Dehydrated water. Have many packets of dehydrated water, Gunslinger says, yes. So you do that. But vitamins, supplements, before they bake them all illegal, it's not what this show's about, but you know I do pay attention to that. I know that they're going after all the supplements. Make sure you have lots of supplements ready here, if you don't already. Additives, things like that, emulsifiers, things that you can help do. Baking materials. If you're going to stay in a certain area, you're bugging out to a cabin, keep the ladies busy by baking stuff, another trade item. Raw ingredients for baking, even if it's just simple hardtack. How long did the Army of the South survive on nothing but hardtack and lard? It's terrible, but you can do it. You know, look at the Apache. When Crook was going after him, and later I forgot the name of the other guy, they lived on cactus needles and flowers. If you're dedicated enough, you can survive on that stuff, but why? So why not bring a little yeast, you know, all kinds of things. You know, in the next hour when we're over on Liberty True Radio, we're going to talk about means of production, the kind of tools you should be looking for and putting into your cache. Now, if people think I'm being redundant, and that's why there's only a handful of people in here today, too bad. Because if I weren't getting 30 or 40 emails from people going, what do I do, what do I do? I wouldn't be doing this type of show. We just have to focus on the essentials first, then the luxuries. Some of you may be doing a little of both. That's fine. Whatever stratagem works for you and your family, I'm behind it. I'm completely behind it. Somebody asked me, should I look into mason jars and all that? If you know how to do it properly, it's okay. I would rather you find some old folks and they train you first before you go out and buy all the equipment. It's like with anything else, be an apprentice in it and figure it out. I don't know anything about how to can, but we've got ladies here that do. We've got canned food in our storage facilities. Let's see. What's that? The lids are the most important. Debbie was involved. And the most expensive. So canning, I don't know. I'm not into that. I would much rather get myself one of those vacuum sealer devices for the little plastic stuff and just get a bunch of dried stuff. If you can only buy packets of ramen and dried beef and that's your stratagem, go for it. Packets of ramen and all the jars of dried beef you can carry and jerky. Because I'm here to tell you, you take jerky, you throw it in with some boiling ramen, it'll reconstitute a little bit. It's not going to become a steak again. It probably wasn't made from steak. It's probably made from the unmentionable parts of a cow. But you can do that with jerky. Try sun gazing. You'll never have to eat food again. I'm not sure what that is. Solar healing. Okay. Olima posted some maniac site, solarhealing.com. Solarhealing.com. It sounds like... It's like I remember back in the 70s, there was a group called the Breatharians. They thought vegans were pretentious, so they became Breatharians, where they got all the nutrients they needed out of breathing. I don't think any of them lived, but or stayed. They probably, you know, got a munchie attack and ran to the 7-Eleven. But that's another thing. Don't get into any of these kook belief systems. Don't say, oh, well, you can, you know, you have to have... I love it when people say, well, you need 2,000 calories to survive. In a survival situation, 2,000 calories isn't going to be enough. You're going to want about 4,000 calories. What was that? Oh, I thought the dog wasn't doing impersonations. So put food you're going to eat. Put food that's going to give you about 4,000 calories a day into your system. And then if you lose it or you get cut down, then you can survive. Don't plan on a 2,000 calorie a day diet. I don't know where that came from in the movement, and I hear it all the time. You only need 2,000 calories a day. Unless you're actually working for a living, and you will be, because you're going to, if everything is okay, you're just going to be planting crops, building structures, maintaining the order of your group, you know, working listening posts, observation posts. You know, if you go to the best of what's in the Patriot book, which I highly recommend you start, if you're not reading it yet, you better get on it. Read the Patriot. If you don't have it, we sell it at our, do we have it online?
What?
From our bookstore?
No.
From, to the church? No. Oh, you have to come to church here to get it. But just go to survivalblog.com, 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 and there's a link there where you can get to that book. And what are you looking at, Lou? Who's that dead guy?
Sun-gazing site.
Oh, Lou's looking at the sun-gazing site. I love all the stuff that comes down the line. If I were not a better man, I would adopt one of these weird quackery things and just do this radio show on that, and I'd probably make a living at it. You know, but I've chosen another path, so we starve. But we do the righteous thing. No, we don't starve. We have food. I don't want you guys to think we're not eating when I'm out there begging with you guys to make a donation. It's just so that we can get things fixed. I'm sitting looking out the window at two broken down cars, one that's falling apart, and one I may be losing in a secondary divorce battle. So, you know, we need a vehicle that, that will run. And that's one of the main reasons I'm bugging you guys. Huh?
Gas mileage.
Yeah, gas mileage. But I guess that's, you know, a burden we all have, and we all share it. So I'm giving you guys a little bit of something to help your lives get better. So when I ask you guys to make a donation towards the ministry or towards, you know, the family, that's all I'm doing. Just asking to be enumerated for the things that we do. Hopefully you learn stuff from me. Hopefully you do. Even if you learn nothing from me, it gets you mad enough to go look it up so you can make me look stupid and you find out that either it's either true or something good that you need to do. We're getting ready for the break here, Lou. We're going to go switch over to Liberty Tree Radio. They're going to pick us up, and I already see Scotty's been in here, and I don't see, are there any guests? We don't have any guests right now, so I don't know if anyone else is retransmitting us right now or picking us up on Facebook or you people listening on the Pod People branch through Olimon's website. I want to thank you all for listening for the last hour, but don't go away. We'll be back in the next hour on Liberty Tree Radio. Another thing I want to remind you of is that in the very near future, we're going to be playing the chapters, I think, if the bandwidth holds out, of, if we can do it, of the Patriots. Actually, you know what? Why don't we just find the link for the audiobook and give it to them and let them listen to it when they want to? That way we don't eat up the bandwidth and you guys can... Is that the doggie?
Yeah.
That's so cute. She's bored. She needs somebody to play with her. So when we come back, Lou's going to find that connection for them, and you guys that are in the chat room, you'll benefit from it. So we'll be back with Liberty Tree Radio here just in a little bit, and make sure you check out the website, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, and make a donation if you can. We'll be right back.
Eating goober peas, 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 peas. Eating goober peas, oh goodness, how delicious! Eating goober peas.
Just before the battle, the general hears a row. He says,
"The Yanks are coming! I hear their rifles now!"
He turns around in wonder, and what do you think he sees? The Georgia militia eating goober peas.
We all love peas, 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 peas. Eating goober peas. Oh goodness, how delicious! Eating goober peas.
Peas, 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 peas.
Eating goober peas. Oh goodness, how delicious! Eating goober peas. We think our song has lasted almost long enough. The subject's interesting, but rhymes are mighty tough. We wish this war was over and free from rags and fleas. We'll kiss our wives and sweethearts and gobble goober peas. We all love peas, 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 eating goober peas. We'll all be goober grabbers and gobble goober peas. Peas, 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 eating goober peas. We'll all be goober grabbers and gobble.
Look in any Civil War soldier's pack, and you are sure to find this. By definition, it's called hardtack. but the soldiers called it sheet iron crackers. And with good reason. When it got wet, it took on a life of its own. Literally.
Neil Sexton is the cook of the Southern Guard, a true-to-life Confederate reenactment group. And he's going to show us how to prepare this jaw-breaking treat.
Okay, Neil, what is this?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Now I see what it is.
Yeah, the quantity of rations on both sides was usually adequate, but the quality left something to be desired. So you could see, a lot of times soldiers might have gotten hardtack with worms in it.
I'm sure when they were really hungry, they didn't mind if this was in it or not. Because, I mean, it's only protein after all. So how did they get it out?
Sometimes they might dump it in a cup of coffee, and they let it cook, and then they just skim the worms off the top.
So they didn't mix their proteins and their starches. So
no.
They ate the worms first.
You want a taste?
Well, one thing's for sure, they're not going to kill you. Is this coffee, though?
Oh, yeah, but it's made from charred green peas, not real coffee. You take green peas...
And you burn it?
And you kind of char them on the fire.
Yeah.
Put them in a cup of hot water and kind of bring it to a boil like you would real coffee.
It tastes like coffee.
The Confederates during the war, they had the blockade surrounding the coastline. They couldn't get coffee from South America. So they were trying all kinds of crazy substitutes like charred sweet potatoes, acorns, okra seeds, all kinds of weird recipes to try to get a cup of coffee.
Message from your government. Although victory in Europe has been accomplished, the demands on our food supply have not been lessened. You can help relieve the food shortage by preserving your own fruits and vegetables. Home canning is a wartime necessity. Knowing the proper techniques and methods in home canning is important. And you can get expert advice by simply writing the Department of Agriculture, Washington 25, D.C. Remember, there must be no letdown this year. Home canning is one of the nation's most important jobs on the home front in 1945.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jerusalem.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, I'm waiting. You don't get anything from me now? Oh, there's the doggy in the background. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you live from the little tiny hamlet at Gowea, California, located right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park in the county of Tulare. The biggest population near us would probably be Visalia. You got to say it like that. And you got to stick your pinky out while you're doing it. Visalia, California. We live off the 198 on a little place called North Fork, along the North Fork of the Gowea River. And we are proud Christian militants. Yep. That's it, I said that. Does that offend you? Is it going to make you run to the hills and go, oh no, oh no, they sound like Kutari, I must not be a member of them. Not that we have any convenience store workers that want to join, but that's what we do here. And the views that I express on here are not necessarily always those of the church at Kauia, its pastor, or the little bald heads that sit in the seats, or the little gray hairs, or the, you know, anybody that goes to the church. They are those of Dutch Jones. Which is not really even me. I'm like the Dread Pirate Roberts. I have to say that every once in a while. I don't exist. I'm a computer-generated character, much like Max Headroom. Lou's responsible for everything I say or do. And I couldn't do any of this without Lou. He's sitting to my left staring at the computer. He's being real quiet. He's been working hard. We're getting those conference videos for you guys. How far have you come along, Lou? What number are you on now? Editing. You can't even remember. How many have you edited so far? 10? 11?
It doesn't work like that.
How many have you finished? You haven't rendered, unrendered, but finished videos. Give me a report, soldier. We had 12 tapes. How many have you done? Oh, he's trying to count now. He's got to get his shoes off. He's counting his toes. Make sure you use your left foot. Your right one's got six.
Hey.
But he's been working on that, and he's putting in the PowerPoint presentation. So those of you that didn't make it, shame on you, can make a hefty donation of $10,000 and get one DVD. No, I'm just kidding. We'll work something out where you can get the whole set if you want specific, guys. You've done 9 of the 12?
Yeah.
So good job. Really good job. Last year it took us a lot longer. He's mastered the editing software. Of course, me standing behind with a fly swatter hitting him every time he goes to sleep is helping too. So we got that getting ready to go. People keep asking, when are you going to do videos? When are you going to put together some training videos? Oh, I'll do that. I will do that. Specifically of the open training that we do. I won't do any public videos of the closed training we do. If you want to see the little highlight of our closed training, you have to get the collection of the DVDs from the conference. We showed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll work something out there. You make a decent donation, you can have all 12 of the DVDs. And are there going to be any extras this year? No extras?
No.
No extras. Yeah, last year we put in the shooting demonstration and all that, and people just didn't watch it. There's nothing more annoying. People hound you and hound you and hound you. When am I going to get my DVDs? When am I going to get my DVDs? You get them to them. 3 months later, you go, hey, how'd you like them DVDs? Oh, they're still sitting on my desk.
It's a waste of resource.
It's a waste of a resource. It's a waste of our time.
And a couple
it's
a, cents, too.
And a few cents to mail them to you.
And for the DVD.
Because you can put them all on one DVD. You're going to compress them that hard, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's going to stomp on them and get them on one DVD. I don't know. I don't know the voodoo behind it, but that's what he's going to do. And that way you guys can take part in the stream of knowledge and spiritualism that we had here during the conference. We actually got some feedback off the conference from somebody who attended that said, it was a little militant. I'm like, haven't you been to these conferences? Do you listen to the radio show? Have you been to church here? We're Christian militants. Of course it was a little militant. We live in confusing times, in very confusing times, don't we indeed? I'd be like listening to Mark Kornke for all these years and go, boy, he's awfully into the militia, isn't he? You know, the guy sure likes his guns. It's really weird. Let's see. I watched the training one several times, Minuteman liked that. But, yeah, we have the opportunity and the ability with my years of experience and Lou's energy, we could put together some pretty good training videos. And maybe that'll shake the cage a little bit and get you guys to do a little more donations if we do that. And so we're going to do that. But right now we're just working hard. We had the radio station crash. But thank you to Navy Davy and his son, Jeffy Weffy. Sorry, Jeff. Did I say Jeffy Weffy? I meant Robbie Bobby. Why did I say Jeffy Weffy? Who do I know that's named Jeffy? Anybody? Anyone?
Jeffy Pop.
Bueller, anyone?
Jeffy Pop.
Sorry about that, Robbie. Robbie Bobby. Sounds like a NASCAR driver. I'm Robbie Bobby. Thanks to this computer, it's working great. The radio station's been up. We're tweaking it. We had to re-enter all the software and do all the adjusting so we can keep the service level going to the community. And they're really bugging me hard to do this show on the FM side. I think if I do that, I'll have hippies at my door. I really do. You guys need to be praying for me on this one. Should I simulcast this or delay it? Maybe I should just delay it because I don't get calls anyway. So we could do it right after Mark Kornke, when Mark Kornke's done. Get a whole evening of just militant in-your-face stuff. Wouldn't that be great? Somebody's trying to... are you trying to... Ellesmere's? I don't know what you're... You trying to spell Alzheimer's? Somebody saying I have Alzheimer's in the chat room? I don't know what that word is. Alzheimer's? Alzheimer's? I don't know what that is.
Minuteman's
address. Well, the reason we don't have your address, Minuteman, Stacy's on the side asking for it so we can send you a care package, is because we destroy our addresses. We don't keep them anywhere. We rely on you guys. Send us something with a request. We write it down, then we burn the envelope. Literally, use it for kindling. Because if they ever come into our house... And, you know, we get raided or something. I don't want them having a list of who my listeners are. And they may already know. They may be in the room right now, and you know, but why help them? So please don't be annoyed when we say, like, you know, Chuck, who listens on the replay, what's your address again? Because we don't keep it. We take all the when you send us something, we take the paper out, we read it, and Lou eats it. I mean, we throw it in the fire. We throw it in the fire in the stove in our house because we just, It's bad security to keep, you know, everybody's address centrally located like this. It's none of my business. But when we need you to, that's where it goes. Minuteman, I know. Thank you. Minuteman has been a strong supporter of this program, and he's been helping us out from the time he started listening. And it's been awesome. There's just been a handful of cadre that have been keeping us on the air, and we thank you. And, of course, and I didn't do it this time, but I want to thank Liberty Tree Radio again. Liberty Tree Radio has been a huge boost to this this ministry. And I don't know. I think they took a risk letting a maniac like me on. You know, it's not like they're going to get attacked by the FCC or anything, but I'm sure people are going, "What's up with the Christian militia guy?" You know, we know there are Christian militia guys out there, but why are you letting them talk? So thank you. I really appreciate being allowed to share your digital stream, as it were, in the airways of everyone that spreads it out. Couldn't do it without you. I feel like my Academy Awards acceptance speech is going on right now. But this hour we're going to talk about means of production. Just for you people that joined us in the second hour because you didn't listen to the first hour or whatever, I got 200 emails today. The bulk of them are people panicking about World War III breaking out by the middle of November. You know, Obongo declaring martial law. It happens every cycle, and I don't get excited about it. I'm not calling you Chicken Little. Don't get this wrong. But I'm doing what I'm doing anyway, so it doesn't matter what the enemy does. But if it's this fear right now that's going to get you off your duff and maybe doubling your efforts, then I'm going to exploit it to every inch I can to make you guys to realize what's going on. So means of production. What does that mean? That means look for those old tools that people have neglected over the years. Because America, but I think it's by like 2025, nobody in America is going to be able to fix anything that we used to sell. It's just going to, you know, it's too late. We're going to have to buy new ones. Fix, you know, it's just going to be remove and replace society. So most of the modern stuff, you know, we've got some guys that are, you know, electronics technicians and stuff like that. That's great. But what I'm talking about is, you know, going back to the Dark Ages and moving forward a few hundred years. Blacksmithing, cobbling, building hearths, making clay pots, farming, animal husbandry, hide tanning, herding, all those skills and the tools that go along, whether they're tools or skills, start looking for those things. I can tell you right now, a blacksmith's going to be worth his weight in gold when we run out of ammo and all the reloading's done and this war's gone on for 100 years. It could. Let's be realistic. European wars went on for the 100 years war. Look at the war with Islam. How many centuries has that been going on? It gets down to the point we're going to need a good old blacksmith to be making our swords and plowshares, both. Timber-type carpentry, yeah, great one, Minuteman. We've got a good friend, Thomas McConnell, out there in Rayville, Missouri, with his ministry, getting off the grid there. Taking a tree down in the forest and turning it into a bed or a cabinet or a barn. This little dog's growling at me.
I think she wants to go for a walk.
Yeah, take her for a walk. Somebody take the dog for a walk. You take it for a walk, Lou. Take the dog for a walk. I think the dog wants to go on the radio show. Robbie Bobby. So being able to take the equipment that we have and keep it running, being able to fabricate new stuff is imperative. Now, let's talk about the luxury side of it. If you can generate electricity through solar, wind, or water, then I'm going to advise these things. Do everything you can to come up with the basic tools for a mill. Making cannons, making replacement parts for aircraft, for vehicles, is going to be almost like witchcraft. I don't mean in the evil way, but it's like there are going to be so few people who are able to do it, and you're going to be very important to the cause. If you can take the tools and get a block of aluminum and make a water pump out of it, figure out a way that you can do it post-collapse. And be realistic. You know, find a way if you want to run stuff off power. You're going to be in high demand, as Ed puts it in the chat room. If you can fix radio equipment, if you know how to solder, if you can figure out how to put a solar panel up, charge it, invert it, and run electronics equipment, you're going to be in demand. So there's a place for everybody in the cause. So somebody like me who's not a frontline troop, depending on which way his hip decides to go that day or his spinal column, I may be in the back, you know, weaving baskets. Who knows? If you have no skills right now, find a skill that you can apply and study the ancient technologies. Figure out how the Native Americans in your area lived off the land. Get books. A book is a means of production. You know, it's also, I mean, you know, storing knowledge. But you can find out which acorns are processable, which ones aren't. How do you process them? I got to sneeze here. Hang on, folks. Wow, sorry. Start buying up the parts you need to generate electricity. I kind of changed the subject there on the sneeze because of something somebody said. Find alternators that can be rewired. Find generators that can be hooked up to water wheels. Forced water, what's the word I'm looking for? Excuse, help me, guys, here. Rams. I mean, I've been watching. There's a guy up here at the end of our road that has, from the 1920s, off of a spring that's high up on the mountain, the water comes shooting out this little tube, generates more electricity than he needs. He keeps all of his lights on 24 hours a day outside, and this thing still has to burn off electricity. It's more than he can store. Okay, Minuteman's talking about a Faraday cage, a Faraday shield. If you disconnect your electronics, because people are worried about EMPs, we'll talk about that a little bit because it popped up, and I would have forgotten about that if he hadn't said that. If you've got electronics that are critical to your efforts, and you get the idea, you know, you should have backups anyway. If there is an EMP, whether man-made or natural, you know, if the sun decides to fart, and we get an EMP from you know, God, there's nothing you're going to do about it. And your equipment's on and energized, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be needing serious repair. Modern cars. That's why older cars are better without all the computer stuff on it. But you can take your electronics from the power source, stick them somewhere, shield them. I've heard microwaves are good. We've got Navy Davy, I think, has told me, his son, Robbie, has told me that, you know, necessarily as long as it's not energized, it's fine. Whatever it takes, have some backup stuff protected and ready to work. Electronics are going to be a luxury. They may become a necessity in certain types of warfare or survival situations, but really, what if you don't have electricity? If you're going to want electronic devices, you better figure out a way to energize them. So a means of production up here for us is we have three within 12 miles of my house, the farthest being 12 miles away one way, three hydroelectric generating facilities, two small ones, one big one. And we have people that helped build them, currently maintaining them, that are on our side. So we'll be able to have electricity up here. That's not something we're going to worry about. Maintaining it, having replacement parts will become an issue. So that's where being a tool maker is going to become critical. Graham 242 saying, learn gunsmithing. Gunsmithing is going to be a very critical tool. Being a blacksmith making spears and swords is great. But what happens when you need to fabricate some kind of spring or fabricate a sear? Knowing what you can modify to work. And, you know, these are a little bit long haul. Last hour we talked about last-ditch effort things in case this thing does go off in the next few weeks, which, again, I don't think it's going to. But as a service to my listeners, since many of you, you know, several of you are wondering what's going to happen. But that's, you know, be able to make tools. You need tools to make tools. So the best thing to do is to collect everything you can right now. Anvils, vices, workbenches, everything you can get there. If you're into reloading, set up a reloading station. Train a couple other people to help. It's a great skill. You know, you don't want kids doing it. They may give you double shots or squibs. But people that are trainable, get them pumping out refreshed ammo. Excuse me. A little hiccup there. You know, use your resources. You're going to have something for the refugees to do. Whatever your policies with the refugees, I don't care if you say we're not going to let any in, you're going to have a couple. Aunt Gertrude's going to roll in with her, you know, her gardener. You know, and she's going to say, well, you can't turn away Pepe. He's my gardener, and he's been taking care of me for years. You know, and you're like, okay, and find out the guy's an honorable man, he's a Christian. Have something for people to do. Have lots of wheelbarrows around. Even if you're just moving dirt from one side of your facility to the other, you need shovels, hoes, post hole diggers, all manual stuff for Manuel to be doing, the gardener. No, I'm kidding. Manual labor, keeping them busy, keeping people focused. What does it say about idle hands? You know what I'm saying. Fencing equipment. If you don't have fences up already, you're going to need to make some, if only to keep the half-hearted out. Finding the tools in place barbed wire, you know, intrusion deterrent devices, because they're not really going to stop any dedicated people out. So you'll need postal diggers. Maybe quickcrete would be a good thing to, if you don't have it, know where it's at. and all the tools associated with that. Manuals. Somebody gave me a manual this week on canvas and tent repair. I looked around. We didn't have one in our library, so that's where it's going, along with the equipment. It's going to be right on the floor next to it. Like, look. You know, I've already found like three things I need to repair with it. We got some flags that the grommets tore out of, so I'm going to put those in. Some of our Don't Tread on Me flags that have seen battle down in the on the border. The grommets got tore out. So these skills, whether recent history or ancient history, are going to come in handy. Today I was joking with one of the locals. Hey, we need some mules. I need access to mules. He goes, well, I got horses. Well, do you know, I mean, everybody, oh, I'll just jump on a horse. I rode one for the summer when I was at camp. You got to find a farrier, a guy that or a woman that knows how to put horseshoes on a horse. Somebody knows how to take care of the subtleties and frailties of a horse, mule, pack goats. You know, and if you've got people, if you've got more than a dozen people in your group, you may have enough people that they can start learning extra skills. Books, 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 books. Get the books on how to. The one thing we have really going for us here is this library I'm sitting in. Over 15,000 books, and a big chunk of them are how to. We got books back there on everything from how to start seedlings for planting in a greenhouse to how to embalm a human body, which we don't really need, but it'd be interesting to know. We're just going to bury it. You know, we poke you with a stick and you don't groan. We leave you in state for a couple hours. You don't get up. You're getting buried. So we've got a means to dig graves, a means to dig latrines. We have books on hygiene. We have videos on sanitation in refugee camps. Even if it's just 55-gallon drums cut in half, plywood toilets, and diesel fuel, and somebody's got to be assigned to burn that stuff every day. That's the discipline there. That's the way it was in the Army. You screwed up in the Army when you were in Central America. You got to burn the waste. Now the Army doesn't let you do that. You can't, you know, EPA and all that. But that's the way it's going to be. Graham 242 says he trained as a mortician, then became a forensic scientist. Yeah. Skill sets that are going to be valuable. You'll be amazed. Something as simple as let's see, let me pick something really simple that would be good. Mechanics. A guy that can keep your vehicles running. You know, I always remember Baba Black Sheep. You know what I like best about that show? Was Red the Mechanic. How he kept those planes in the air. And I know the TV show, I read the books later, and you know they embellished a lot on the TV show. thanks, Lou. Lou just typed in the chat room that I used to be a street mortician. No, that was street magician.
No, I was the street
magician. You were a street magician. I was a mime. Street mortician. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, one of the skills that won't be used would be rock star. Graham 242 just popped up rock star. I don't think it would be a big use for rock star.
You came up with that, though. Street mortician.
I did street mortician. That's one of my
you
jokes.
You put that on your MySpace a long time ago.
I put it on my MySpace. See, if it wasn't for Lou, I wouldn't know how funny I really am. He reuses my jokes. And he throws them up at me, and I'm like, that's funny. Where'd that come from? He's like, you said that. You should carry a digital recorder and record me, and we could sell my jokes to, like, Seinfeld or something, because I'm funny. I'm darn funny. Is there going to be a need for a Weisenheimer in the future? Is there? Is there going to be a need? Because that's pretty much all I am, is a Weisenheimer. But a mechanic, I wish we had a good mechanic on site 24/7. It would save me thousands of dollars, and it would save me, you know, just tons of grief, and it would give me a sense of security. Because right now, and I hope it doesn't go off, because our bug-out vehicle isn't that big. It's a little tiny Toyota. Our real bug-out vehicle, as soon as we got it running, it got broken down again. So a good mechanic is something that we really need. But, yeah, talking about Rocky Hill Ranger got us back to point. Red, the mechanic, used to fix the machines with beer cans and baling wire, get those aircraft, those Corsairs back up. You need a good mechanic, and you need to give him the tools he needs to perform. So if you have any space, set aside a place for your motor pool and all the things that need to go in a motor pool. Look at those, you know, the old tire breakdown machines. You know, the modern ones are all high-pressure air, and you know, it does it all for you. A good old set of tire tools. How many people know how to do that still? Do any of you? I do. I learned it on farms. How many of you know how to set a split-rim tractor tire? Well, if you're going to be kiping deuce and a half and unimogs from the UN troops, you're going to need to figure out how to take a tire on and off to repair it, right? Or to replace it. Tire tools. The trick of throwing some lighter fluid in there and lighting it, and it boom, and it blows up and seats the split rim. Very dangerous, but it's a skill to have. You know, how to balance a drive line. And then again, it goes back to, do you have people that can make replacement parts? You get somebody who's knowledgeable on vehicles to know which vehicles you should salvage and which ones you shouldn't. You know, everybody's going to show up in their H2 or their Hummer and go, hey, look what I got. Nah, useless. All the computers, all the smog stuff. Drive it till it dies and then use it as a berm material. You know, bury it in the berm of the stronghold you're at. So mechanics are good. Mechanics are really good. Seamstress. What are you going to do when those clothes, say you've got, you know, what's on your back plus two more pairs of jeans and start wearing out? Do you have somebody that knows how to repair those things right? That's a skill you need. Seamstress. Somebody who can make fabric from just wool, from flax, from natural fibers out there. Remember, it goes back to the Native American thing. What did they make their sandals out of? What did they make their little loincloths out of? Are you going to have people that can make you clothes? Or are you just, and so many militias do this, they're just focused on shooting people. And looking really cool in their YouTube videos. And that's one of the reasons we don't look so cool in our YouTube videos, because we're broad-based. We put a lot of effort into everything. What's that thing you guys do when you weave stuff with the needles? What do the ladies call that? Knitting? Knitting and crochet?
Knitting?
Knitting. Thanks, Debbie. Knitting to make hats, clothing, gloves, mittens. Do people in your group know how to do it? My mom-in-law is a pro seamstress. She gives me the look when I bring uniform stuff in for her to patch up. There you go, Graham. See, in the means of production, are you those old pedal sewing machines? I was just listening to a radio swap meet the other day, and somebody goes, I've got one of them in my barn that's in mint condition. First $100 takes it. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had $100. The pedal sewing machines, great, great, great tool to have. Just spools of thread. I bought spools of thread. I'll be at a secondhand store, and they'll have these big spools of thread. I don't care if it's a god-awful color. There's some use for it. We'll buy them. I'm a bachelor seamstress. I can sew patches on and fix my coat when I snag it on something, or when Lewis slashes me when I'm not looking and I have to put my sleeve and my arm back on, I can sew it back up. But a seamstress and all the tools that go along with it and all those other arts with taking raw fabrics and covering up your manhood, whatever it is, you know, you need it. And you need to have somebody who's able to use the tools that you put together. If not, if you're alone, this is another argument against the lone wolf scenario. How are you going to learn all this stuff? And what are you going to do when you're injured and you're sick? How are you going to take care of that? I'm not even going to go into medical today. I'm not even going to go into producing tinctures or producing your own alcohol for medicinal reasons. What was it Granny used to say? Her medicine, when she do her still? Rheumatism medicine. Yeah, rheumatism medicine. Yeah, somebody's barking. I wonder if we got an intruder coming in. It's a cat. Get the cat. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about means of production, things to be looking out for. Just because I've got a bunch of email people like, what do I do? What do I do? If we're going over stuff you already know, too bad. You can't hear good stuff too often. We're going to be back after the break. What is it? It sounds like helicopters. We'll be back right after the break.
It's coming down. The new world order's training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue. To aim the crosshairs of their guns at the end. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down. It's all around. The new world order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I
saw the lawless law there flex its long lean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some know what they deserve. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling. Foreign troops they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither in coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down. It's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the
gas
stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
facts. Jones.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
He just threw chopped lube before we went on the air. He was playing Slap Happy, and I just punched him in the throat. Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
Keep your guard up there, white boy. Oh, this is the Dutch Jones Lou Fu Show. You can't hit me in the throat. I got to do the show. Boy. Welcome to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live. Right now, it's Thursday, the 28th of October. Got a couple days left for the October surprise if he's going to do it. We're not getting excited here about impending doom. I'm sorry. I know, but it's good that everybody's hearing the messages. It started with, for me, when I started listening to Lindsey Williams a few weeks ago. Everybody's talking about it. It's diligent. It's being a good steward of the information to share it with you. But rather than dwell on what could happen or what may happen, I want to spend the time talking about how we need to react to whatever may happen. Nothing changes. Our response is the same. We're just like the Minutemen of 1776. Let them, if they want war, let it be here and let them fire the first shot. But then overwhelming response with what we know is wise and diligent. But let's see here. Come on. That's okay. Nothing. Everything's okay. I was just trying to pull a cable and I'm standing on it. So we can focus on the militant stuff maybe tomorrow on tactical stuff. But let's talk about. How's your throat, Lou? I heard you coughing over there. He's rubbing his throat. I got you good.
Uh-uh.
I pulled the punch. He did turn. Okay. I'm trying to do the show, and I got my son in an arm bar.
Armlocks don't hurt me.
Arm bars don't hurt you?
No.
What about a wrist lock? How about this?
Those don't hurt.
Okay. Stop trying to hit me in the throat. So right now we're just talking about survival. You can't fight if you can't survive, period. You know, you just have 3 days of glory, and you'll go out, in a blaze of glory, and that'll be it. What good is that for the cause? What good is that for your loved ones? She loves me, doesn't she, this little dog? She just wants to be on my lap so bad, she's whimpering. So we've been talking about means of production, and if you want to hear it, go back. There's a replay. You can do that by going to dutchjones.info, and you can go to the archives at Olima. Our staff archivist so graciously supplies for us and makes available to you. It's her offering to the show, and we definitely appreciate that. So I'm not going to belabor the points. But there's so many things that you could be gathering right now. Everything from bowling ball carrier. No, I'm just kidding. There's just secondhand store carousing you need to be doing. You need to be hitting swap meets. You need to be hitting auctions and looking for means of production. Tools, riveters, things that rivet sheet metal. You know, those of you that do that, I don't know anything about it. Maybe Navy Davy can help me out here. Is he still there? There's Robbie in there. How do you, repair things when you don't have the tools or the knowledge to do it? So sheet metal work would be a great thing. Something as simple as those simple machines that help you fill sandbags. Sounds stupid, but they make these little stands that you can put together. That you put the sandbag in, and I've used them in flood control. I've used them in the military. I had one that fit on the hitch of a truck. You have the truck full of sand, and you just put the bag in there. It holds it. You fill it up, fold it over, build. Sandbag structure building is critical. Sandbag structure building is going to be critical for this cause, this battle. I bet a lot of people don't know how, stacking the sandbags. How do they stay up? We used to use strips of barbed wire in between them. So go around and salvage up all the old rusty barbed wire you can. Make sure you use gloves and have your tetanus shot or whatever herbal thing you want to do. But you cut it into strips a little bit shorter than your sandbags, and you put it in there. You can start building stuff. You can make sandbag igloos all over your property. Store your ammo in them. They're water resistant if you do it right. They stay cool in the summer and warm in the winter. And they're strong, and if you do them too thick, they'll stop just about any small arms that you can be thrown at you. Learn how to make these things. Now, if you go in there, just put earth bag. There's all kinds of websites you can go to that have it. There's videos all over YouTube on how to build sandbag structures. And it's cheaper than you think. There are places where you can buy thousands of sandbags for a few hundred dollars. And if everybody in your group pitches in and you make your nice little underground bunkers or whatever, your cash is out of them. And then some of them are beautiful. I've seen them. They cover them with earth. They plant grass on them, and that makes them stronger. And another technology that I'm going to talk about is sod housing, depending on where you are, building with sod, building with rammed earth. making your own bricks. There's a guy out of Texas that I listen to here on YouTube. What he's done, he's a little less militant, more Christian, but still a militant Christian. He's got a rehab ranch out in the middle of Texas on cheap land that nobody wanted, and he bought this one machine for like $1,200, and it takes clay, water, dirt, and it uses hydraulic pressure to make these really nice little bricks. And he builds everything out of the bricks. Hey, brother. And rammed earth construction is a skill that you need to have. You need to have it because the material's all around us. Now, secondly, if you've got carpentry skills, if you've got home structure building skills, great. What if you don't have the tools? You've got all these great electric saws, even gas-powered saws. You've got routers. You've got everything. What about the hand tools that they were using in the 1800s? Do you have those? Do you know how to use them? Oh, I like that. The Earthship people decommissioned tires for construction. You know, I have this vision of building a shoot house out here with tires. So that's a good one, too. Thanks, Graham 242. It's a little greeny, but yeah, it's a good thing, tires. But being able to build wooden structures. Do you have hand saws? Do you have, what is it, the construction guys always send somebody, go get a board stretcher? You know, go get a board. Do you have a board stretcher? And those kinds of things. Of course, that's a joke. But do you have a hammer? Or do you have to have a pneumatic staple gun that drives nails or screws or whatever? Fasteners. Do you know how to notch logs so that you can build even just a basic hut that, you know, out of logs that you pack mud into to keep your family for one season? Find these books, find these skills. Do you have a good axe? Do you even know how to put an edge on an axe right now? I'm not trying to overwhelm you, but these are the things you got to think about. A means of production, all these lost skills. We've sold our production overseas. We hire foreigners to build our houses. We hire foreigners to take care of our babies. We have liberals educating our children. Our doctors, my doctors are all from other countries. This nation has destroyed itself. We can't blame anybody else because we don't have a skill set. We don't have industry. But the good news is there's time maybe still available where we can train ourselves to do these things. The knowledge base is out there. Before they start burning books, you better be grabbing these books. I mean, how many people know how to put in a leach field for a sanitation system? I was talking to the pastor about this tonight because we were looking at our property going, okay, we can put about 200 people here. We're going to need latrines. We're going to need this. Where's the leach field going to go? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Infiltrators. No, not the kind that come into your group, but infiltrators for a sewage system. These things, I bet everybody named Pedro that's listening to the show probably knows how to do one. And that's sad. All the illegal aliens know how to build your deck, but do you? You just know how to write a check to them. It's pathetic, America. And you got to get back on the ball. It's not too late. It's not too late at all. Not too late at all. So you want to get up on my lap? Is that what she's doing? Put her in here. Give her some loving. Give that dog some loving. How about digging a well? You guys can pay, what's it cost to get a well now? $20,000, depending on how deep you go? You just write a check, let somebody else worry about it. In the old days, they dug wells. How do you think, over in Israel, do you think they had a big drilling rig? Do you know how to build a cistern to collect water? Do you even know what a cistern is? No, a cistern is not your redneck sister. A cistern catches rain or available flow of water for use later. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to work with concrete? The difference between reinforced concrete and just standard concrete. The reason you see death tolls overseas when there's a 5.7 or a 6.0 earthquake and 10,000 people die, it's because of unreinforced concrete. They don't put rebar in it. You got people going around scrounging up all the rebar you can and storing it. Do you have a cement mixer that you can run without electricity? Do you know how to maybe mix it in a barrel or something? Do you know how to do it? Or are you going to rely on the guy that you've hired all the time that's not going to be there when the crunch comes? Again, another argument for not being a lone wolf and having good fellowship with good people with good skill sets. Yes, that sounds self-serving, but it also expands the glory of the gospel, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You know, we've been doing a lot of talk about having these big C-train containers, these big metal containers. But, you know, you just don't have them, bring them and drop them on your property. You have to put them on something. You have to have drainage around them. You have to level them or lean them. There's all kinds of stuff that go into it. I remember I worked at a shooting range where we had four delivered, and I was amazed at what they had to prep the soil first. They had to put in gravel. They had to make sure it had the right, what's called a grade. Am I right? Get the right grade so there's runoff. And then if you want to bury it, how are you going to bury it? You're just going to bury it, and it's going to, you know, is the ground going to cave in? The soil that's wet around it going to rust it? What do you do? These things are lost. People don't have it. It's not even common sense. It's skilled sense. You know, unless you're living next to the Amish, you're pretty, and you don't have these skills, you're in big trouble. And that's only if the Amish let you in. You know how to do a barn raising? How do you drive one of those T-posts into the ground? I've worked with people, you know, that, you know, they just get hired from some temporary place, and we're putting in a fence somewhere, like at a golf course where I was. This kid came out, 18-year-old kid, strong, and I said, hey, let's go drive some T-posts in. Here, I'll drop off the T-posts. I dropped off all the tools, and I was using a little golf cart to go get more. I wasn't stupid. I was going to let the young kid do the hard work. I come back, and he's got a shovel, and he's digging holes, putting the T-posts in them, and then filling the dirt back in. I go, what about the post hole, the post driver? He goes, I don't know what that was. Slip it over the top, drive him in. You know, work smarter, not harder. Sure, you know, maybe it'll work. I don't know. Fence probably fall over in a breeze. People don't even know the tools when they're in front of their face. Don't even know the tools when they're in front of their face. Talking about a blacksmith, you may laugh at that, but a blacksmith's going to come in way handy for the crude tools. What if you need a plow repaired? Your computer tech guy's not going to help you. He can't whip up a digital plow. And I'm telling you, all the glory, fun stuff about all the tactical gear and looking all macho and everything, the real hard work is going to be producing the food and the shelter, folks. Rocky's leaving. See you later, Rocky. Thanks for listening. You have to remember that all the stuff you focused on is going to be completely different than what's really needed. You know, medical, food production, shelter, transportation, you're going to spend more time doing that logistically than fighting. Historically, that's the lesson. There'll be great big battles, there'll be little skirmishes, but the rest of the day, you got to figure out how to get your troops to their location, keep them fed, keep them healthy, keep them out of the elements. That's more about fighting war. It's not the glamorous side of it. Nobody wants to learn that part. Nobody wants to watch a two-hour movie on how they get, you know, soup to the front line. But let me tell you something. That's where the real energy goes into a war. For every frontline soldier in a domestic army that we have today, there's 20 to 30 support people, including the taxpayers that keep them going. In a guerrilla system and cell warfare, that's like 40 to 50 in reality. Somebody's got to feed him, keep his morale up. And I know you're saying, wow, that's just, you know, that's ideal. In reality, it's going to be like 7-to-1 ratio, I believe. There'll be 7 behind the lines people in our group for every soldier we put up front to defend, fight, delay, whatever it is. So I'm telling you, don't lose focus. Don't think all I care about is my really how I look with my folding stock. Minuteman made a joke. You need to have a good stockbroker. I think stockbrokers are going to be good kindling. Yeah. That's the only use I can think of for a stockbroker. I mean, maybe we should do a whole show on things we won't need. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, a little lighthearted, for our last half hour. Things we're not going to need and people we're not going to need. You know, you're not going to need, you know, what I'm trying to think of something that would be very offensive. You're not going to need, like, politicians. Yeah. Not going to need a lot of lawyers. You'll need people who know the law, but you're not going to need lawyers. So if you're a lawyer, listen to this, and all you know how to do is serve summonses and screw people over in court, maybe you need to have a come-to-Jesus moment. There may even be a need for entertainment to a certain extent. Think about how an army travels. What usually follows them? The camp followers, whether good or bad, whether it's USO or the prostitutes and the wine carriers. Just pick her up and put her in your lap. She barking at Frank? She barking at the studio audience.
She wants me to pick her up.
She loves you, Frank. And Frank's just thinking potential food source. Oh, I love this. Graham's making a joke. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get a scratch on my 45 when the war starts. A quote from a former friend of mine. Man. Yeah, people are just focused on the wrong stuff. And it's easy, and I do it too. I'm part of it. My hand's up. When I think of doing a show topic, I think, what are they going to be interested in? Oh, let's talk about terminal ballistics. Oh, let's talk about shooting somebody in your house and what you got to do. But the reality is I should be doing more shows on how to pickle asparagus and how to clean out a leg wound that you got from just working than all this other stuff. Maybe I'm doing you a disservice. Maybe I need to focus more on agrarian. Maybe I need to look more like Mother Earth and less like Father Warfare, you know? Mother Earth. That's not Mother Earth magazine I was making a reference to. Maybe we should talk more about, you know, husbandry of chickens. Eggs, a great food source. You can move them around. All that kind of stuff. But I don't want you to lose balance, and that's why I'm doing this tonight. And in the last, you know, 8 minutes we've got here together, I just want to remind you that none of this makes any sense. None of this is good for anything if you don't use the gospel as your basis. I don't care if you're planting watermelons or planting a thought in a brother's head. It's not going to do you any good if you're not basing yourself in Jesus Christ first. If you're not trying to serve no king but King Jesus to begin with, everything you do is just going to be for nothing. And you may have victories. I'm not naive. I know that humanist kings have ruled and led. Look at Russia. How long did it reign? Look at China. Look at this country. How long has it lasted with non-Christian leaders? There's just so much I want to share with you guys in so little time. And even as great as this opportunity is for radio, it's not enough. I wish we could be side by side and I could show you this stuff. Because I'm not skilled enough to convey the importance of this. I'm not skilled enough to get you and support you and be there when you should be doing something right and you're doing something wrong to poke you like a good Christian brother should do. So I'm depending upon your own inner voice, the Holy Spirit, of course, because what I do is nothing. Nothing at all by itself. It's nothing. I was trying to find something in the Bible, but I forgot what verse I was looking for. But I've got the concept. And the concept is, put your hands to work for the Lord. Put your heart to loving the Lord. Put your mind to reaching others for the Lord, and it's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Our general is God. Our general is not me, not you, and as much as I love all these earthly servants of God, I realize that true authority comes from God alone. Like when I was talking about the psalmist David earlier, you cause my people to bow down and be subjugated to me. It comes from God, not from men. I heard the pastor today say in a sermon, I am not a sovereign citizen, and that's a big thing in the movement. I'm a sovereign citizen, how dare you? There is only one sovereign, and he is sitting on his throne in heaven right now, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is our general, he's who I'm following, he's who I get my marching orders from, or from men who follow him. And I'm here to tell you, the good news is, even if we lose, we win. Even if we lose, we win, because we turn to heaven, and if we are saved, you know, by grace through faith alone, don't panic. Don't worry about it. The worst day here on earth, it'll be nothing. We won't even remember it in heaven. And when we win in the end, whether we fall early in the fight and watch from the grandstands in heaven, or we get all the way through it and suffer every moment of it, the moment we're victorious in this, even in an earthly sense, will be worth every bit of the suffering. I know that's hard to say when you look back through conflict and people lose children, lose loved ones, lose friends. It's tough, but like, what we're fighting for is a righteous battle. God-given liberty. No man can take it from us. All they can do is make our lives living hell. I'm free no matter what Obongo does. I'm free no matter what the UN does. Those people that are slaves are because they believe in the hypothetical chains that are put around their neck. Even if they capture me and put me in chains, I am free because of Jesus Christ. I am not a slave to any man unless I willingly go into it, and that's subject for another show. But I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. You must realize that what you're doing is much bigger than you, me, Liberty Tree Radio, every bit of it is much bigger, because what we're doing is to secure a future for our children and our faith. I may never see a day of angry battle again in my life, and I hope I never do. But the chances of losing it are much greater than me. and to prepare him, to give him these skills, to give him these things to fight with. That's my only goal sometimes. And if you remember that, it makes the tough stuff easier. It makes the tough decisions easier. If you're sitting there going, well, do I want to pay my cable bill? Or do I want to buy 200 rounds of ammunition? You know what the right decision is. You know what the right answer is. Right? If you keep focused, keep a clear head, this isn't going to be as bad as it could be. But I'm here to tell you, if you try to do this in your own flesh, if you try to do this alone, if you try to do this for selfish reasons, you're going to get squished. And it may not be the enemy that squishes you. It may be God. And that's the point of this show. That's why I'm reaching out to you. You know, the whole love your enemy thing we were talking about in the first hour? I also love people I don't know. People that are seeking in the darkness for the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer isn't me. I get a lot of email praising me, you know, thanking me for what I'm doing. But this isn't about me. It doesn't matter if I'm doing this, Frank behind me, Stacy's doing it or losing it. It doesn't matter. The message is what's important. Think about it. What do you do with an aluminum can when you're done with it? You just smash it and throw it away. It's what's in the container that counts. And what's in the container that's coming through me is the message from Jesus Christ that there is no king but King Jesus. And the rich, strong history that I stand in. I mean, every night we do our Wednesday night study. I wish, you know, you guys are going to get to hear it when we get a chance to start uploading it again. And I highly encourage you, if you haven't, to check out that archive again. The Wednesday's America's Providential History. You go back 200, 300, 400 years and you see what men and women suffered so that I can do this radio show today, and I feel guilty because I don't use it to its optimum level. People were burned at the stake for simply reading the Bible and demanding liberty for men in Europe. Do you realize that? The Catholic Church passed edicts that if you read the Bible to your children, you would be burned at the stake. Islam, Turkey, in the last 120 years, has killed millions of Christians. And every one of those people died, every one of those people struggled, and yet I get to do this every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes I take it for granted, and sometimes my listeners take it for granted, and we can't do that. A very high price was paid just for our physical freedom, not to mention the high price for our spiritual freedom that Jesus Christ paid. He paid a price he did not owe for a debt you could not pay. And I know some people have sent me emails saying, wow, you're getting too spiritual in the shows. We want to hear about how to start a fire with bricks. Too bad. Because nothing matters beyond your salvation to me. After that, how you live your life, how comfortable you live your life, I work on that a little bit, but I'm more driven to make sure that you see in me a reflection of something a billion times better than I ever could present to you. So remember, the message of this show is Christian militant attitude, Christian first. Christian first. I will not budge on those. I will not move away. I can be educated, but I will not move on the core beliefs that I have. And if a militia is not Christian, if a movement is not Christian, that's why I don't like the Tea Party anymore. It is doomed to fail because it is absent and separate from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're buying beans, when you're buying bullets, do so with an attitude of Coram Deo. Know the big picture. This is a battle that goes beyond this planet. We've been chosen to fight in a small little corner of it, and we should be feeling very honored that we've been chosen to fight it, and we should be humbled by that. So remember, the battle is hard, the sword is heavy, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. And I really want you guys to know that I do appreciate your input. And I do my best to read every email. Today was hard, 200 emails. And if I didn't answer you, it's not because I wasn't concerned, but I read every one today. I read every email I got. I just couldn't answer them all. So tell people about the show. Check out the website, dutchjones.info. Make a donation if you can, anything if you can. $5, get you a bumper sticker, and then we'll send you more stuff if you donate more. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty, and thank you for listening to Dutch Jones. We will be back tomorrow night.